Would turn your Bibles today to the book of Psalms, and we're going to look at Psalms chapter 121. It's the one we're going to look at here today, and just something I feel that's just fresh in my spirit and heart, some personal devotion time, and some things, this has come to me, just pondering these things, and I just want to preach through this short psalm here today, Psalm 121. And the title of this is going to be very, very simple. I'm just going to encourage you here today to look up. To look up. That's what I want to talk to you about. And again, many of you have read and can quote some of this portion of this psalm, but I just want to read it to you and just work our way through it with the Lord's help today. We're also going to hop over and look at Psalm 123 very briefly as well. So if you look there, Psalm 121. This is what it says. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh out my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall, notice this, preserve thy soul. We see physical help, but he helps us spiritually as well. Verse 8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and how long? And even for evermore. Again, the title of this is very simple, Looking Up. Looking Up. How many knows it's good, probably frequently in our lives and our weeks, to look up, to look to the Lord. And that's my encouragement to you today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for your word. We know it is infallible. We know it is inspired. We know that it is true. We ask you, Lord, here today that you would help us, God, in this little bit of time that we have together, that your spirit would meet with us. You know everyone that is here. And God, we would that you would use your word to help us and to challenge us and to meet the needs of our hearts. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. Once again, looking up. We find here in Psalm chapter 121, we find that this is called, as you would notice in your Bibles if you're looking at it, in the King James Version, it says a song of degrees, or what we would find in some translation, a song of ascents. And it was this idea that many of the pilgrims, the Jewish pilgrims, for various different occasions and feasts and festivals and get-togethers, they would actually find themselves ascending to Jerusalem, the hills, and you would find that it would go up to the tabernacle and the temple, if you would, and things like that. And I am not, obviously, there's much that can be said about these things in its context, and I am no Jewish man, as you know, nor have I been steeped in the Jewish culture, but I find great interest as I am studying the Psalms, of reading behind men who knew the culture of that day and knew some of the practices in which the Jewish pilgrims would participate in. And one of the things, they look at these psalms of degrees or psalms of ascents, and they say that these psalms are, so they would actually be sung in a certain manner. And I would love to see this reenacted in heaven one day, maybe, I don't know. But this specific psalm right here was actually what they call an antiphonal psalm. Now, I don't know much about that other than what I have read, but an antiphonal song or psalm is actually when the pilgrims would sing on their journey and they would respond one to another. They would have parts and they would participate in a certain way. And it's believed by scholars that the leader of the company would open with verses 1 and 2, which is in the first person, and different people in groups would answer in verses 3 and 4, and so on. So you can imagine as this group of pilgrims is going to Jerusalem, and they are singing and responding in these psalms and songs as they are going to worship the Lord and glorify Him. I was reading behind James Montgomery Boyce on the specific chapter. He is a biblical commentator. And he mentioned this in his commentary that David Livingstone, the famous missionary and explorer of the continent of Africa, would read Psalms 121 and also other psalms as well. But he would like this one psalm because it talked about God not sleeping or slumbering, that God is aware, that God is awake, and that God is mindful. And here we find in this psalm, and I mentioned to you as well that we would probably glance at Psalms 123. And the reason being, they both open up with a similar idea of lifting your eyes or looking up, if you would. And our text read that I read to you says this: I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And you find in Psalms 123, it says, unto thee I lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. So we find that God is in the heavens, if you would, and He is lofty, and He is awake, and He is alert, and He is the Creator. And the psalmist and the different singers would be talking about lifting up our gaze and looking to Him, looking unto the hills, the place in whence our help comes from. And now, I enjoy doing this, and it's so important that we do this in our Bible study and reading, but many times when we're reading in the English, we can overlook some things. But it is interesting that when you really look at this and study this psalm, you'll find that there is a Hebrew word, shamar, which is mentioned 6 times in this chapter. You'll find it first in verse 3 if your Bibles are open. It says, behold, he keepeth. And that word keepeth there is the word shamar, which means to hedge about, to guard, to take heed, to reserve as a watchman. You'll find it again in verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. You would find it again there in verse 4 as well. I meant to say verse 3, verse 4, and verse 5. But then if you go down to verse 7, you'll see the word here, the Lord shall preserve thee. It is the same word in the original language as the word keepeth. And you'll find the word preserve there twice in verse 7 and once in verse 8. And what I want you to notice is this, is that these pilgrims, the psalmist here is talking about God being our keeper and God being our protector and God being our preserver. And I find great comfort in that today, that it's not about you and I. Look, we must do our part. We must strive to be true and strive to be faithful. But let us never be deceived to assume that we stand by our own power, that we stand by our own merit, and we stand by our own good graces. God is the sustainer. God is the preserver. And that's why when you and I are facing difficult times and difficult seasons, it is the Lord that keeps us and not we that keep ourselves. Again, let's do our part. Let's look to Him. But many times in life, you have to admit with me, you don't feel like you can do any more than what you are doing at that moment. And all you can do is look up. All you can do is look up. All you can do is trust. All you can do is depend. Because really, brothers and sisters, we as human beings have our limitations, have our wits' end, if you would, where our wisdom is expended and our thoughts are weary and tired. And sometimes we don't feel like we can string 2 thoughts together to make sense of a situation. So we look up and say, God, look, I gotta go to bed tonight, but you're wide awake. Lord, I'm gonna have to rest. I am weary and tired, but God, you are alive and well. And I'm telling you, in the weariness of life, we stand in Christ and stand in His power and His anointing and His ability. That's what sustains us in battle in the hour in which we live. Thank God for it. I told my wife last night, I said, boy, Feels nice to lay on this mattress. And I'm sharing this with you. I mean, I'm nothing to hide, but you know, we sold our house. We don't know where we're going to be in a few months. We're still praying and finding the will of God. On Saturday nights and Sunday nights, we'll be sleeping out here. I've always wanted a mansion. This is as close as I'm going to get. 18,000 square foot, folks, is wonderful. Amen. But what I'm saying is, last week is just a hustle and bustle. You have those weeks and I have those weeks. I'm nothing special, neither are you. We all have trials and times of seeking direction. I don't feel any more different than anybody else. I don't deserve any better treatment than anybody else. Life is full of transitions and trying to find the mind of God. But I'm telling you, you can get tired and you can get weary and it don't always make sense. But you say, Brother Derek, what sustains you? I know God's in control. And I know He's alive and well and awake, and He doesn't have to rest. And when I am weary and I have expended my strength, His strength has not even been diminished one iota. He has all power and all ability. And I want you to see that here this morning, because the psalmist is saying this: I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Where does it come from, church? It doesn't come just from a denomination. It doesn't come from just another person. It comes from the Lord Himself. Yes. He keeps me. And guess what? He keeps you. I'm a firm believer. He'll keep you if you want to be kept. He'll keep you if you want to be kept. You said, Brother Derek, I just don't feel like I got all the answers. We don't. He does. There's many times in life we have to rely in quiet trust on Him, because we don't know everything. Matter of fact, if God showed us everything, it would overwhelm us. It would overwhelm us. If God was to unfold to you the next decade of your life, you would not be able to tolerate the weight of it. You would go to an instant spiral of trying to plan and prevent and try to figure it out. So we have got to be content to live, as I've been preaching recently, because it's so applicable unto this church right now. Live in the graces of today. Live in the revelation of today. Live in the knowledge of what you know, that God is faithful and true and on the throne, and He's going to take care of us. So this lifting His eyes unto the hills, we know He's looking higher than the hills. The hills around Jerusalem was a place of fortification. It was a place of hope. It was a strong rock, if you would. And you can read that many times throughout the Psalms. And so these awe-inspiring hills, He's lifting up His eyes. He's drinking in the scenery, if He would. But He's doing more than drinking in the scenery. He's lifting up His eyes higher than the hills. He looks at them hills and looks a little higher. And He goes on to say this: my help cometh from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. That's what's so beautiful about the mountains. You find the earth reaching up into the heavens as high as it can go, and the heavens coming as low as they can and touching. You find a meeting there, and it just brings a sense of scenery to us. And unless you live in the mountains, many of us, you know, if you were raised up in the mountains, you know, you probably don't have this. Or if you live around this very often, you know, just like we're around water all the time, and we don't get so inundated by it when we see it. But people that are never around the ocean will stand there and say, my, look at that. I see nothing but water and boats going by and going through the tunnels and think of traffic. They see something else. Likewise, when you go among the mountains, and you don't live there and you're not there a whole lot, you look up and there's a sense of awesomeness about it. And here's what the psalmist is doing. He's there looking at these awe-inspiring hills, and he says, I've got a sufficient helper. What does he do? Who is he? My health cometh from the Lord. And what does he do? He made the heaven and the earth. Now this is what the psalmist is doing. Many times we complicate these things. It's very simple. These pilgrims were much like us. They went through things. And I would even say probably went through more discomforts than we do. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have heating and air and cars. These are pilgrims. These are men and women that are living in an ancient antiquity and time. So notice the psalmist is saying, well, I like what one writer said about this. The Lord is our creator. The Lord who made the heaven and the earth. The Lord who could take all the vast reaches of space and the enormous distances between the stars, billions upon billions of light years. We can't even see it all or comprehend it. But the God that we serve can hold them all between his little finger and his thumb. So the psalmist is saying, I'm looking up. And the God that made the heavens and the earth, he's looking. You know, we got all these telescopes today, and I don't know much about them. I know we've got several here that work with NASA. You probably have access to some things that would amaze us about what we know and the limited knowledge that we have about the galaxies. But it's amazing when you read about them and you hear about these things, and our mind is like, wow, there's that much out there that we don't even comprehend. Just a basic course in earth science just amazes me. But God can hold it all between his finger and his thumb. He's the one that's going to take care of us. So that's where the psalmist is going. So he goes on to say, the Lord is our keeper in verses 3 through 8. And he goes through several different things here that he helps keep us from or helps us. I want you to notice number 1, verses 3 through 4, about God being our keeper here and the Lord sustaining us and us looking up. Notice what he says. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So notice this. The Lord knows how easy it is for us to slip and be moved. But the psalmist says that God that's made the universe and the earth and everything that functions, he is able to keep me from my foot being moved. He's able to keep me from slipping on the rocky paths of life. He sustains me. He keeps me, and I should look to him to do so. I don't know what is in our tomorrow, but I know this: God is able to keep me from falling and is able to present me blameless on that day. Again, God's able to do that for us. But do we look to his sufficiency and say, Lord, you're able to keep us? He neither sleeps nor slumbers. Let me ask you a question. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I got enough common sense to make it practical. Why do we need sleep? Because we need energy. We need rest. How many realize if we look at these children running around and we say, man, I wish I could bottle up that energy in capsule form. You know, I mean, there's energy drinks and there's all sorts of pills people can take, and we drink coffee. God never has drank a cup of coffee. He doesn't need one. He don't have a Keurig in heaven, I assure you. But man, we get up and we need the aroma, if anything else, of coffee. Many of us, some of you don't. But why do we need it? Because we need energy. God needs no energy. He does not need rest. Why is that? Because he is in control. God watches over us. He does not have to go to sleep. He does not get tired. That's what Elijah said to the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. He said, look, maybe your God's on vacation. Maybe he's tired and he's asleep and you got to wake him up. Notice that. I'm not a scientist, far from that, but I'm smart enough to read behind people who know what they're talking about. And one commentator highlights the power of God just by analyzing the sun. Now, I don't know how old this science is, but it's pretty amazing when he's talking about the sun. Notice what this man goes on to say, and please indulge me for a second. This writer says, God has infinite energy. Every star, every galaxy, every burning orb in space is an object lesson in sheer physical energy. Take our sun, for instance, a ball of fire that astronomers classify just as a moderate star, neither small nor large on the stellar scale. It has a diameter of 864,000 miles, but it is all gas. 2 billion, billion, billion tons of gas over every square inch of the core that presses down, and a crushing weight of a million pounds of matter. The only thing that keeps the sun's core from collapsing is energy, inconceivable floods of energy that raise the sun's internal temperature to 25 million degrees Fahrenheit, consuming 657 million tons of hydrogen each second. The sun can still go on burning for another 50 billion years, and that's just one moderate star. The amount of energy in the sun just blows our mind. That's one speck of God's creation. Now, again, I know that's pretty interesting, but what's the point, Brother Derek? A God that has that kind of energy to create, a God that has that kind of energy to sustain, doesn't need an afternoon nap like you and I. So whatever problem we have and whatever weariness we feel, and when you come to the end of it, why don't you reach into God and His power and sovereignty and say, God, You are able to keep me. Your eye is upon me and I trust You. Secondly, it goes on to tell us that He sustains us or gives us strength because we are weak. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. And the right hand is the sword hand. And we understand, I like what one writer said. He said the shade is actually His shadow. The shade is His shadow. He is standing, and we are living in His wings, as it says, underneath His wings, as Psalms 91 would tell us, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. And again, I was reading about these things. What is the psalmist talking about? What does it mean? They have something they called sunstroke, and it was very common and dangerous in the East, where you could get so hot and it would just cause all sorts of issues for people in that day. You could be moonstruck, which was very superstitious, to where there was something would happen to certain people and they did not understand it. But this is really what they're talking about in the Jewish context, that the Jewish people followed a lunar calendar. So the writer is referring to the days and the months by the moon and day by day. What he's saying is God can take care of you every day, from the sun coming up to the sun going down. He doesn't sleep nor slumber. He takes care of us. The Lord shall preserve thee, listen, from all evil. I'm going to stop here and really think about this. Because we would say, Lord, that don't make no sense. Because sometimes believers are made subject to evil in this world, right? How many has ever felt the touch of evil in this world? Death and pain and sickness and people that would come against us. But notice what the psalmist goes on to say. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. I want you to hear this, preacher. There's times in life something may touch us physically. We can't help that sometimes. Look, be wise. And don't live in fear. I believe all those things. But there's sometimes in life things are just going to come your way. People are going to do wrong. But just because something touches you physically doesn't mean it has to touch you spiritually. The problem is, many times, that which is physical, we invite into our spirits. And that which is a thorn in the flesh, we let become a thorn in the soul. And God has never intended that. I'm a firm believer, and God helped me to live it and you to live it. No matter what my circumstances, no matter what my physical condition, God, let my soul be strong. The spirit of a man, the Bible says, will sustain him in his infirmity. Which means when his soul is strong, he can withstand great calamity and great tragedy. But a wounded spirit, who can bear it? Look, you may have a wounded spirit and may be fine physically, but I assure you of this, it's better to be whole spiritually with some physical things going on. Why? Because God is a preserver of the soul. It's when we allow the physical to touch the spiritual that we have problems. How many knows that can happen? You can be physically sick, and you can allow physical sickness to affect the way you live your spiritual life. And you can get bitter, and angry, and grumpy, and sad and despondent. You can have people do you wrong, and God forbid, I am not saying it's always easy. But if somebody was to hurt you physically, there's something that can be inside of you that's still whole. Brother Shane taught so wonderfully Wednesday night about this old tent and tabernacle and death. Look, I know we hate it, but I encourage you here right now. I mentioned, I think, several weeks ago, we got to learn to live inside out. Lord, renew our inward man day by day. Let it be strong. Let it be fortified that no matter what we face, the Lord is the preserver of my soul. Notice verse 8, which is our last verse. I'm going to spend a few more minutes here. The Lord shall preserve thy going out, thy coming in, from this time forth, and even forevermore. Notice this, the going out and coming in. How many of us do that a lot? Going and coming. And I know some of you that retired, you still end up doing some going and coming. There's sometimes at our old house, you're sitting there, I say, who is opening it? The door thing has a chime, dong, 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 going back and forth. I'm like, who is going in and out so much? Flies, kids going in and out. What do you need? We do a lot of going and coming. But guess what? The Bible says the Lord will preserve thy going out. Aren't you glad to know when you step foot out of your door, there's a God that's watching over you? You may say, well, there's been times I've stepped out the door and some things have went wrong. Guess what? God still saw you. God was still there for you. God still loved you. I'm glad to know there's divine oversight in my life. I'm glad to know that where I am not alone. That where I am not forsaken. I will not leave you comfortless. I will send another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And I'm glad I'm not an orphan. I've got a heavenly Father. I've got the Son of God that is interceding. I got the Spirit of God living in my life. And my going out and coming back has divine oversight. And I can assure you of this, even in my disappointments, there's still divine appointments. God sees. My going out, my coming in refers to daily activities. And I would tell you, yes, the Father sees you even in the minor details. Live like it. Yeah, when you're working on something, you get frustrated. God's still there. He loves you. Still live sanctified and glorified God. Yes, when somebody mistreats you. Again, I love the Jewish ideas of this, and we don't practice some of these things, and I'm not encouraging to do it just like them. But the Jews really were real big on having the Old Testament verses at different portions of the house. I read some Orthodox Jews still do this today. I've not seen it physically, but I've read about it, that some devout Jews to this day keep a small metal cylinder fixed at the right-hand doorpost of their homes. And one commentator and scholar who has seen them himself said this, the cylinder contains parchment inscribed with words of Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Shema, Deuteronomy chapter 11. And as they pass in and go out of the house, they touch the cylinder on the door when they're going out and when they're coming back in. And it also has the last verse of Psalms 121, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in for this time forth and evermore, because they want to emulate this in their mind. That God sees them. And I would encourage you here today, you don't have to buy a metal cylinder. But can I tell you to tuck this in your heart and to memorize it in your mind that God sees your comings and your goings. I'm not going to be much longer, but I'll tell you right now, that right there is important. Because sometimes we think God only cares about the major events. But God cares about when you open the door and when you shut it. God cares about when you lay your head down at night. God always sees. God always sees and He knows. And in the minute details of life, when you're going to work and you don't feel like it, He sees. He sees. He cares. Now, life can be pretty mundane if we allow it to be. Hit the time clock. Punch in. Punch out, and we can get right into this rut that is this all there is to it. Has anybody been there before? Let me put you in the preacher's mind for a second. It's already Wednesday again? Whew. Sunday, man, I got to get Sunday's here. And you're doing all these other things in between. But God cares about the in-between just as much as the pulpit time. This is just a fraction of the time in my life. God cares about the goings and the comings. It's the same for you, church. He sees you and He cares. So again, God is our keeper. He's our protector. And we got to understand this. Let's make a quick New Testament application and we'll close. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says this, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil." How many wants to be kept from evil? Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding." You hear that? Does anybody's understanding have a ceiling to it? Mine's kind of short sometimes. You know, my understanding hits the roof pretty quick. But I'm glad to know that His knowledge, His peace, passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through who? Christ Jesus. And our last little verse I would look at here today, I'm talking about looking up. In the New Testament, Hebrews 12:2-3, looking unto Jesus. What is He? The author and the finisher. That word finisher there can be perfecter of our faith. "Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and it was set down, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." What is He saying? Look. Look unto Jesus. Look up. Why? He's the author and the finisher of my faith. But then it goes on to say this, look, I want you to consider what Jesus went through. Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds, He went through a lot more than you did. And did He depend and trust in His Heavenly Father? Can't we? Can't we? Last I know, I've never met a person that was crucified apart from Jesus. I've never met somebody that endured such pain and suffering. And as it would say in Hebrews, have you suffered unto blood? My answer is no, I have not. Get up. Tighten your boots if you would. As you're going out and coming back, know that God is your preserver and your keeper. And He will take care of you. I want you to stand to your feet. I want my wife to go to the piano. And we are going to pray this morning. I feel we need to in our spirits. I feel it in my heart that we need to pray. Didn't preach very long this morning at all. But again, my exhortation to you is this. Look up. Look up. I don't know who needs to look up. Sometimes we look down so much. Old brother Greg Roberts, was an evangelist I knew years ago, had the famous line when he was preaching, "Get your chin out of your chest and look up." Get your chin out of your chest and look up. Why? Because many times we have the downward gaze of a downcast soul. Many times we don't realize this, and please indulge me just this last thought. Many times when our countenance is downcast, it's because our souls are not healthy. It's not all physical. Many times a downcast look is because we have a downcast soul. But can I tell you that He preserves us, and He will preserve your soul. Brother Derek, can He do it? Look up. The one that preserves me is the maker of the heavens and the earth. And if He can do all that, He can help me have a smile on my face. I mean, if He can span the galaxies, I think I can take these few muscles and God can enlighten my countenance. Why? Because He will take care of me. Find us a place to pray this morning. If you want to pray in your seat or in these altars, I encourage you to pray and talk to God. Pray and talk to God. If you want to kneel down wherever, Lord be with you. Lord help you. Look up this morning. Look up today and let God help you in this time. Hallelujah.